As a parent, my children are my indicators. I really use parenthood, and I'm learning to use it as this actually tremendous opportunity to keep becoming a much better human being. And when you do that, what I'm realizing is I'm keeping trauma from my kids.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, I've got an incredible guest that's going to share some incredible life experiences. Michael, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, super excited to have you. So we're going to jump right in as we always do. You told me, we've met and known each other for years, that you grew up in a cult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of experience with cults, but I can't imagine it's very pretty. So tell us, how was it? How did you manage? And just tell us what it was like and what effect did it have on your life?
So disclaimer, this is how, when you come from chaos, humans' ability to normalize things, I think it's a superpower and a weakness for us. So I learned in 2021 that I was even from a cult, period. I had no idea it was that, right? So I went through an experience in 2021 where I had to intentionally, I took a year to just, where did I come from? There was just stuff that didn't add up. And so I went and found members. There was about six families in 1988 that moved from Tampa, Florida to middle of nowhere, northern Florida. And there was this lady that they followed, and she said that she had special knowledge about the world was ending in a religious cataclysmic way in the year 2000. So I found out, and it actually made so much of what I experienced as a kid make a little more sense of the fact that I was from a Y2K cult. And it really, it's kind of like getting diagnosed. So I have ADHD and dyslexia, and I didn't get diagnosed for those until I was in my 30s, and I'm 38. There's so much value to me in knowing, because once I knew, I could do something about it, or I could adjust my filter, right? So what I've learned about growing up in a cult, I said it earlier, what's interesting is it's normal to you. And then as you see it, you can realize the crazy it was. Like one of my favorite pictures as a kid that I still have, actually the lady that I went back and saw and asked her all these questions that still lives in that area, she gave it to me. And I'm like three in the picture and I'm sitting there. Disclaimer, I might tear up. I cry a lot. It's just, I get moved.
Yeah.
I don't want to make people uncomfortable, but it's a picture of me in this chair. And it actually, when she gave it to me, it helped close a loop on my childhood. And we'll kind of dig into that as we go along. But I saw myself as a little kid and I was really happy. However, where the picture was, what you can't see is surrounding me are just thousands of buckets of freeze-dried food. This is 1989, 1990, right? That's the year we're in. And this is all for the year 2000.
Oh my God.
When the world ends, right? And I'm starting to realize like, interesting. One, what was really helpful, and this is all about how to be happy, I realized I was happy because I went through a long part of life where I was not happy at all. And when she gave me, when she gave me that picture, I realized even in crazy, I was happy. So I can get back to it. But now I can get to it intentionally. How do I do that? Right? It was, 2021 was a very powerful year for me. I applied a Jim Carrey quote, or at least it's a quote of his in a meme, which talks about, if you're not willing to take a year of your life and even go backwards a little bit, to propel yourself infinitely forward, then you're not serious about what you really want to do. And that was 2021. I took a whole year off of real estate and just dove into my life. Why am I the way I am in all the ways I am?
What led you? What was the catalyst that said, I've got to look at my life and make a change?
So at the time, early 2021, I was the vice president of professional development for a real estate brokerage. We were originally an acquisitions team that sold to hedge funds and did extremely well in the Tampa and Jacksonville markets in Florida. When COVID hit, I canceled 33 houses in one day and they were my only buyer. So like I had nowhere to go and it was falling apart. In the meantime, we had been setting up this business, a traditional real estate brokerage. So I was teaching all these agents how to build their business and that abruptly came to an end. The vision for the company changed. It shifted. My position went away. In my journal, when I write about it, I'm very big on journaling. I wrote that I was surprised this happened. However, I feel like I've arrived somewhere. There's something to this. And I originally, when I got into that, I thought it was time to launch a coaching business, like personal development. Let's talk to people about this. And life quickly showed me as I went to do that, like, there's some more we're going to talk. You got to learn a little bit more. Let's dig a little deeper. We're going to show you some things that you didn't know were living there. And I was literally, I had gone down to just delivering groceries to pay my bills. I was not after money. I was after knowledge. And it was a very intense year, but I'm so grateful for it now. It really propelled me forward.
So the universe forced it on you. There's a book.
I say it gave me the opportunity. Like, it gave me the chance to respond.
Right.
And I'm really glad for it.
Right. This book that I have in my hands, it's called The Way of Miracles by Mark Mincola. Just amazing human being. He's helped literally like 100,000 people. And there's so much I could talk about. But the point I wanted to make with him is, he says that self-contempt, which is the opposite of self-love, leads to dis-ease, and dis-ease leads to disease. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where am I going with this? He says that if you don't fix that self-contempt, and that self-contempt comes from our childhood situations where we develop meanings, he says the universe will always fix it for you. And that he means, that's what made me think about what you, the universe gave you the opportunity or forced you, however you want to say it, to look at yourself. If you didn't, maybe at age 40, 50, 60, you would have gotten cancer or some terrible disease, because that's what the universe does. You're going to have to deal with it sooner or later. So anyway, thank you for sharing that. Can we go back to the three-year-old Micah in that picture? Did that three-year-old boy know that the end of the world was coming and that everyone might die?
No. What he knew is that the world around him was very angry and it was very scared. And I'm very careful to talk about this area. Like, I have tremendous respect for both my parents. I have actually taken the time to understand why we ended up there. There's a unique thing about what will actually cause someone to join one. So when I go through this, I do it with an understanding of how they were operating as well. But it was very intense with, if you die, if you aren't telling me the truth or anything, you die in your sleep, you'll never see your family again.
Oh,
that
boy.
God's very mad at you. Like, I had insomnia for a long time from very early age because I just got so scared to go to sleep. Like, what if I left something out?
Oh,
how do I know?
Gosh.
How do I know? Right? Like, it was this very deep entrenched fear. And however, there's also the entrepreneur part of me, right? He's been there since a three-year-old too. And it's kind of felt it always inside. It's the daringness. It's the adventure. It was also actually my fiance. She gets blown away that I was actually in it for so long, because she's like, I see the way your mind works and what you do now. Like, it's very interesting. One thing I put it back to, I was like, when you use anger and fear to anchor somebody in a belief, that is one of the hardest to go. Life delivers your chance to get to the bottom of it. You'd never find it on your own. Like, that's why I agree with what you just said. Life will force this. You walk into it. You don't even know what it is, but it gives you this chance to see.
And so you were given the opportunity and you've run with it. We're going to talk about that. But so many individuals are given the opportunity. And again, not my words, Mincola and the great Dr. Gabor Mate believes that stress and believe, like, could there be any bigger stress than a three-year-old thinking you might die if you told a lie? Like, had you not processed that stress, things would get worse and worse and worse. But people have give that opportunity, and some people face it like you did, and some people don't, and they just go right back to their old ways because, number one, they're scared to face the past, or two, they don't think anything will ever be any different.
Agreed. And it's I often go back to that moment and wonder why that time? Because as I look back on life, I think life gives you multiple chances. Right. One of my favorite in the book behind me, this one, that's the Tao Te Ching, one of my favorite books to read.
And it
just talks about remove problems while they're small. Don't wait for them to get huge. Take care of it while it's little before it becomes this huge thing. And I love that concept. And when you first interact with it, you see, wow, I have a lot of huge things. And the uncovering of one huge thing creates others. And then it becomes this, I don't know, my daily living goal of mine is to live without that stress. No matter if it's stressful, it's up to me to participate or not, right? And that's kind of that long arc.
So, Micah, I mean, the stress couldn't have been, and you said you were in it for a long time in this cult. The stress was really, really, really intense. knowing after dealing with doing this for the last 3 years and spending thousands of hours with over 100 clients, that had to impact your life. How did that negatively impact your life, and what lows did that cause you throughout your life?
Yeah. So if you fast forward about 10 years, let's get to the year 2000, right? Here's something I learned. You can't tell yourself terrible things are going to happen for a decade and terrible things not happen. Now, in the mid-1990s, the lady that ran the cult, she passed away, which is the most common thing that's going to happen in any kind of extreme belief system, is typically what I refer to them as now. The leader takes these people out. Whatever they promised doesn't happen. However, they're not around to defend why. And then there's these two people that'll stand up, and one wants to be the leader, so does the other. And then this faction exists. And it's how it just kind of propagates itself. Cults constantly split, constantly. It's just what they do as people age in them. So what happened to me is, as she died, we literally didn't even leave the same building. We just dropped the everything was ending in the year 2000 part, right? Like, there was we same place, same building, same people. Year 2000 hits. Now we just don't believe that. Oh, she's dead. For some reason, we missed something. Now we got to go on. However, every family, there was, like I said, there was six families, I believe it was, that all moved there. Every one of them, all of us experienced destruction. In the year 2000, my dad left the cult. He was 40. He realized all these things, like his life started crashing down on him. And he left our family and he left the religion. And what that meant was I couldn't talk to him. He had taught me this thing that I had to literally use against him for 10 years. That was a very hard 10 years because my dad was my best friend. He really was. I was very gifted athletically. I always wanted to be a professional athlete. I had no problem with that. I had this tremendous gumption. But when that happened, my darkness started in 2015. When that hit, like, this was just normal, right? Honestly, the extreme beliefs felt normal. And then all of a sudden, there was this explosion inside of it.
Wait, he left the cult in 2000, but your darkness hit in 2015?
No, when I was 15. In the year 2000, I was 15 years old.
Okay.
So now my family splits up. He leaves. Actually, my brother moves out really quickly. He had just graduated high school. So there was all these things that happened in within a relatively short period of time. After the time everything was supposed to fall apart, right? I find that so ironic as I've gotten further away from it to look back. So it's in this time from 15 that, as I look back, it's the time when I hit puberty late bloomer. I was just was. And as I'm now going through it at this period and it's really hitting now, just the natural anxiety of being a teenager, right? You feel awkward, you're doing all this stuff. However, I am inundated. I've lost the voice of my father. I don't know who to trust. One thing that most people need to understand that is so prevalent inside the cult system is mental health disorders, undiagnosed. When you can believe crazy, you can't detect certain things about people. And I don't mean to toss around that word crazy and disrespectfully. I just mean like wild stuff. And there's someone in my family that has that. And I lived with them for a very long time, just me and them. And I actually work with a therapist now specifically for this, because if you come out of an extreme belief system, you don't know what you don't know. That was very hard. And so I actually found him in 2021 as well. He's who helped me through this journey of like, how do you do this? How do you really understand all this? So in from 15 to 18, I got really angry. I justified the most dangerous feeling I know I have to be careful of is when I am justifiably angry. I will do I'll do terrible things that way. And I will, in my mind, the story I tell myself says this is the right thing to do. That's what's so crazy about that particular emotion, right? For that period, actually for about the next 15 years, I used anger as my propellant. From 15 to 30, anger is what drove me. Whether it was I was angry at me, I was angry at everything. Anger was my, right? My dopamine hit. How do I get angry? If I can get angry, I'll win. Doesn't matter. All I got to do is get angry enough and I'll do whatever it takes to get through everything, because it was my survival mode button. It's interesting how grateful I am for those years because of the person I am. And I love to think deeply about life. Like, I do consider myself the luckiest guy alive. My path was so meant for me in this way. But that is when the darkness hit and really sank. I lost my comp. Go ahead.
No. I think you're getting the question I was going to ask. You lost what?
I lost my confidence. I lost my belief in myself. I accepted defeat. I accepted this was just my existence. I'm built to only hurt.
What did that cause in your life? Like, where were the lowest lows of your life based on that anger? And by the way, Eckhart Tolle says that unless you're being attacked by a bear, anger is always underlying sadness or hurt. And holy moly, did you have reason to have underlying sadness or hurt?
Yep.
From the cult to your dad abandoning you. Like, wow. So that was your defense mechanism to get you through that time. But anyway, what did this cause? Because this extreme anger and had to bring you some bad things in your life.
It cost me my jobs over and over again. It cost me very close relationships. It's just super erratic behavior. I live by this one motto. I don't have a reason not to. You grow up in a cult, you're poor. You don't have anything. Like, it's the weird part about it, my version of the experience. My dad was from upper middle class, didn't lack for anything. And then like, I'm living this experience where just middle of nowhere in the woods, right? And the thing I had was my life, and I would gamble it any chance I got, right? Every second I got, I would gamble it. All I wanted to do was feel alive. What would make me feel alive? And all it was adrenaline. And I would do everything I could to find that button using anger, because you get angry enough, you'll do it. Then you'll do something crazy enough and it just, boom, now you feel alive again. And that, I almost died multiple times in that time period. I convinced someone to sponsor me to be a bull rider.
Holy moly.
I'd never learned to ride bulls, but I figured I'd do it. This one, I knew I'd be a good salesman. I convinced somebody to literally buy my way in, sponsor me. I was fully sponsored riding rodeo circuits and I got stomped on. It basically popped my right lung. I have my bull riding vests in my safe in my house and it still has the footprints on it where it was this bull, my body, the ground, and he jumped back off of me. And like, that's what it was doing. It was destroying my life. Like, my body hurts. My brain hurts still from it. Maybe I'm just realizing this right now. It drove me to a life of compulsion, right?
Yeah.
This, it doesn't matter what it is, just what is it? What is
Just anything from the way that you were feeling. Any distraction from any adrenaline rush. So, Micah, you have obviously changed drastically since those days, or I don't think you'd be on the show, right? Let's shift now. And from this terrible heartache and despair, and you even mentioned last time we talked that you were homeless at one point. Homeless, you almost die probably because your lung gets collapsed. You're doing all these crazy things. Where was the shift? And then what's life like today for Micah? Because I want people to understand, no matter where you came from, there's a reason why you have the suffering that you have. And Micah is a perfect example. You don't need to suffer, because I know you. You're not suffering. You're thriving. So tell us how you made that shift.
Yep. So I moved away from my family. I managed to get about 45 minutes away. And I built a house. This is in 2012. And thankfully, I started to notice these things as I separated this space and I got away from it. I could start to see this difference in what I was believing and how society actually worked and all this stuff that wasn't lining up. And it came to a point when I was 30, so 8 years ago, that's when I officially made it out of what I call the cult system. I was to a place where I could finally hear something. And it was Neil deGrasse Tyson who said it in Cosmos. And he said something about how we measure the light year. And in the core of my belief system was that the earth was 6,000 years old. He showed me mathematically that was not possible. And once it did that, that was like the first thing. If that one's not true, all of it's untrue.
Mm.
And all of a sudden it cracked this thing open for me. And I saw, I saw, holy shit. I feel it now. Whoa, I understand it way more now. What I felt then, this release of, you actually don't have to believe any of this anymore.
Wow.
You don't have to do any of this. Wait a second, man. You're free. You're free. I actually got to thank Neil deGrasse Tyson in person for that. So I was 30 then. You mentioned dying. My therapist said, my life statistically, because all the homelessness, all these things that were in it, statistically, my life story dies from some sort of self-induced death around the age of 34.
Mm.
I found that out when I was 36, and it was liberating. It was very liberating. I don't know what about it was, except the fact that I'm done. I survived. Like, statistical probability said, get to 34 and you win. And I was like, I win. I win. I did it. I can leave it all there. And Michael Singer is what he goes by, wrote Untethered Soul, some other books. He is a profound teacher in my world. And it was about that time I started to discover him in this, when I'm learning that I'm free of this now. And I was actually going to do my first personal development talk to a real estate brokerage, oddly enough. And I was listening to the book on the way and he said that. I almost had to pull over. I was just in this space of, oh my God, this is incredible. This is really what's available to us. And then I got intentional about it. So that's the key. Once you know, now you're responsible, right? As liberating as knowing is, the action is what makes it create the reality you want to live. And that's what I'm obsessed with now. My quote is, a good life is made by living the individual days well. And I'm a very big journaler. My coach I work with, he's got 35 years of his life written down every day. I'm almost 2 years every day, and I got 5 years documented. And I love to go read it. And if anybody's listening to this and you don't journal, the value of journaling to me is in reading. It's data about yourself, right? It literally is a screenshot of who you are at a particular time in life and what you're thinking and what you're going through. I went through a divorce in 2019. I have it documented. I mailed my copy I have in here. I wrote a book of poetry from it. Like, it was this intense experience, but journaling allows you to see where you are and then how you keep going. And it's beautiful for if you're trying to do something hard, document it. Document what you're going through. So then as you go through it, you go back and read. One, you'll see the cycle repeat in life. This is something it's repeating. And then you'll participate in it. Intentionally.
Yeah, someone said it's the mirror. Journaling is the mirror into your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind drives 95% of your behavior. So how do you feel about yourself and life today, Micah?
Yeah. So I went back. There was a question I asked myself, why are you the way you are in all the ways you are? And when I could answer that completely, took me about 5 years to answer that. That brought me to the version of who I am now. And so for the last 3 years, I've been living this in an intentional way of, I understand me from yesterday all the way to the beginning. And anything I don't understand is because I haven't seen it yet, but I've built a framework for if life delivers that, I know how to use that experience to get what I need out of it, sidestep all the parts where you get in your own way and use life to propel life, right? Where it's a, that's where I live now. So I call it living on the raw edge of time. Just the real me is interacting with the world. I hope that makes sense. I'm learning how to express it. I'm actually working with a group, learning how to create talks about this more in my own world.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to read a quote really quick. I think it's going to be, this is from Alice Miller. I think it's Drama of a Gifted Child. Experience has taught us that we only have one enduring weapon in our struggle, the emotional discovery of the truth about the unique history of our childhood. This path, although certainly not easy, is the only route by which we can at last leave behind the cruel, invisible prison of our childhood. We become free by transforming ourselves from unaware victims of the past into responsible individuals in the present who are aware of our past and thus able to live with it. Don't get confused when you hear invisible prison. Oh, I wasn't in a prison as a child. No, you weren't in a prison. You put yourself in a prison as an adult based on your thoughts and based on you not knowing. So all of these meanings that Micah and myself put into our heads from our early childhood, they're buried in our subconscious mind. Micah, when you were angry for 10 years of your life or 15 years of your life, did you really know why you were angry?
Nope.
No. I mean, most of my clients come to me and they're like, I have this problem, but I don't know why. So how do we change everything? We go back and we look at what were those meanings that we placed in our life, and whatever your struggle is today, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's just your brain trying to protect you from something it thinks is worse. But as an adult, that thing it thinks is worse really isn't worse. You just have to become aware like you've done, Micah. What are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree. So I've learned in doing some coaching with people and just studying, I love humanity. I love to think deeply about being human. I think it's like a superpower we all have and you can use it on purpose. One thing, scientifically, 25 years of age is when biologically you're fully developed, right? Just your scientifically, your body's made it. Something I noticed is I've coached people before that age and a lot after. It seems to stick much better if you take this challenge on post age 25 for some reason. I don't know if you just are able to really question it. Like, just there's something about time too. But yes, getting to the point where you, why do you believe all the things you believe, and be open to questioning them? That's that secret sauce where, okay, why do I believe that? I think as a parent, my children are my indicators. I really use parenthood, and I'm learning to use it as this actually tremendous opportunity to keep becoming a much better human being. And when you do that, what I'm realizing is I'm keeping trauma from my kids. You can never protect them from all of it. But if I know, if I'm your parent and I know what I'm trying to do, there's certain floors I can help you build. So you don't have to start in a cult system. Actually, you can start in a way where when life does get hard for you, you won't choose a cult system, right? Because that's what happens. Life gets hard, and it usually gets hard. At least two really bad things happen at once, and you have a proclivity to believe extreme things. That's how you end up in a cult. That it's the formula for it. It's pretty wild. But yes, can you dig through all those? The first coach I ever worked with, we had one simple metric. You're alive. We were doing some like work through my past. And he said, I want you to go to all the versions of you that you're mad at. And I want you to give every one of them a really big hug and tell them thank you, because they had one job, keep you alive. He said, I don't give a shit what the story they told to do it was. None of it matters. What matters is you see it now and you can go tell them thank you, but I don't need you to tell me that story anymore. Your work here is done. Release yourself, dude. You want to talk about freedom? And I mentally did it. I sat in the dark and I went to some specific versions of me that I was not proud of and was like, thank you, buddy. Thanks, man. Like, I wouldn't have done it that way now, but you kept me alive. You did it for us. Great job. Great job. Like, I'm doing it a different way now, but it was on you then. And it's like, oof, that creates a mindset to see yourself for who you really are.
I think as adults, Micah, the people who don't do the work or haven't done the work yet are still in that this thing is threatening my life. That this thing could be the way that your wife talks to you. Mm-hmm. You could be triggered by the way your wife talks to you in your childlike brain. And I'm not saying childlike is an immature. I'm saying your childlike brain, that whatever your wife said to trigger you, someone probably said something similar that made you feel that way as a child. And as a child, you've got to be attached to your parents, because if you don't, you die, right? So mm-hmm. I am a believer. I don't know if this theory is going to prove out. This is just from doing all of my work and reading so much and studying so much on this, is that we as adults get in these situations where our brain is literally telling us your life is on the line. So go eat food, go drink, go smoke a joint, go yell, go get really angry. And if we could just process that, like you're saying, and go back to those times in our life, you have got to realize your subconscious mind, wherever you are in your life right now, that's where your subconscious mind wants you. Do you know why? Because you're alive. It's done its job. So it's going to keep repeating it. So if you grew up in a household where you were abused or abandoned or hit or whatever, you're likely going to recreate those things because your subconscious mind is doing it. You're not doing it consciously, because mm-hmm. its only job, like you said, Micah, is to keep you alive. It doesn't care if you're happy or sad or has anxiety or addiction or depression. Doesn't care. You're alive. I'm doing my job. Let's just keep doing it. The magic comes when you can actually go to the subconscious mind, ask, hey, why are we acting this way? And it will always tell you. And then you say, do I need to act this way? Am I a six-year-old kid that needs my parents to survive? No. So when my wife says that, do I need to get mad? No, I guess I don't. Boom, right back to joy.
Right back to joy. You see it for what it is.
See it.
You reframe it and see it for the thing that it actually is. And it's a powerful practice. So for me, how I did that, and hopefully this will help somebody that listens, I'm a feelings-based person. I feel the world around me. I feel emotions big, right? I can feel really happy, really sad, really mad, right? I feel big. And what I noticed was, no matter how big I felt them, they all, each one always had feels the same or similar. It's just on a range of how I felt it. So I started to document that, and I started to use my emotional system as an indicator system only. I started to realize how I felt about how I felt, what's messing my life up. The original was just telling me information. So what's it actually saying? And I went to start seeing, okay, right now I feel super anxious and my chest is so tight, I can't breathe. I'm like, oh, why is this? Why is this? And it's like, wait a second. Maybe this isn't a why thing. Think about this. Release yourself. What's actually happening, right? You feel this feeling in your chest. And then I start to be able to, if you do it long enough, categorize it. Oh, I felt this way that time. What did I do then? What decision did I make? Did it create the outcome I wanted? No. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. And literally, I'll use this metric all the time. I'll use it if there's one I wake up with and I check it every day. If all three are in a negative position, I will cancel every appointment I have that day. It doesn't matter who it is. It does not matter. I have noticed this cycle I live with in my life where there's this one period of time. It only happens maybe once or twice a year. But on that particular day, it's just me. I just need to be with me. Anything I do will actually have negative effect on the outside world, right? But it's knowing to do it. And that's when you start to feel power as a human, where you're choosing your life. It's not happening to you, you know?
It's pretty amazing that you have the discipline to do that. So kudos to you. Yeah, what you're talking about, I created something called the Joy Regenerator, and you can go download it for free at bradchandler.com/joy. And it literally teaches you how to process those emotions when they come up, how to deal with them, how to pause, how to give yourself compassion, and then figure out where do they come from. So in my situation, it's always that I'm not enough. So if someone makes me feel sad, any negative emotion, I can immediately go to, oh, not enough as a child. Is it true? No, it's not true. So can I get back into my joy? And the answer is yes. So it's literally a Google sheet you can track. It's your own copy. You can put whatever in there. Yeah. If you download this and use this, I promise you, it could change your relationships in a drastic way and change the way that your life is, honestly. So go grab that now, bradchandler.com/joy. So as we wrap up, Micah, this has been amazing. Tell us about your speaker series and tell us kind of what are you doing now and what's on the horizon for Micah as a human being?
Yeah. So after 2021, when I really got my mind put together, I started working with a coach. His name's Greg Lorberbaum out of New York. He was in commercial real estate there. So my background's in real estate since 2014. And what I realized was I had a lot of businesses in my graveyard. I used to own a professional golf tour and all these kind of other things that were these really cool ideas and they were really good. However, I always got them to this certain spot and they fail. And I was like, why is that? And working with him, it realized I didn't want to do the big lift up front. That's not the part I want to do well. What I'm really good at is I trained myself to be on a higher level leadership team. So that's where I'm with 8020 REI now, a company that's established, but needed somebody to come in and help with sales and really help with growth, like an owner mindset. So that's where I find myself currently professionally. I'm their business development manager. I get to travel to the best real estate masterminds in the nation, meet people like you all the time. Not like you, you're quite special, my friend. So I can't say that, but I get to meet really incredible people. I do all their talking. So it's where I do have a passion for speaking. It was intentional when I was looking for a job that I wanted to be public facing. Because in working with my therapist, well, let me say this. Let's go further back. When I was in the cults and stuff, like I didn't just sit there. I actually preached my first sermon in the cult somewhere around age 7 out of a verse of Proverbs called "Keep your tongue in its cage." I was not inactive. I held many leadership positions in that. In that world, I'm actually quite the entrepreneur. I could go start a cult real good, Brad. Right? I'm really good at it. I can get it up financially running the whole thing. And I realized, weird skill set. However, I also learned that I've always been this way, right? Because that was another thing when I made it out of the cult was I felt really guilty for all the people I converted in. Mm. Like that was a heavy burden that I carried for, I would say, probably about 3 years. I wasn't sure how to deal with that one. And really, I just let it go. Like, I'm not their keeper either, right? Like, it's not only my fault, right? Like, to make it like, oh, I'm the only reason, that's not true, right? That's to like be a martyr and just kind of release myself from it. Hold on, I forgot what you were saying. Oh, what we're doing now. So now that leads me to, I work with 8020 REI. I love doing that. I actually am working with some coaches on doing some professional speaking. I want to learn how to develop my core message a little better. And then create some tracks on it to inspire people to use their humanity. I think what we are is incredible. And I'm learning how to say that more because that's really it. If we can all get inspired to use ourselves intentionally more, what we're capable of creating, now we have, we're only raising floors. There's no such things as ceilings anymore. Like it's, and that's what drives me. In a weird little way, it's this way. So Neil deGrasse Tyson, using his numbers, species live on average 2 million to 10 million years as we've measured. Our current version is in year 200,000, right? We're young. We're young. And I think about if at this young, and this is another reason I love real estate. Real estate manages external chaos. The buildings we build, the things we see, right angles, right? The universe can't make those. Humanity does that. We've done all these things. And now we're learning to manage this internal chaos that we all seem to come with and putting that in order. I say, we all come with the ingredients, but a different recipe. That's up to you. I got to learn mine. You got to learn yours. But as we more and more people start doing that on purpose, man, I got hope.
I agree.
Tons of it. Like, I'm just so excited for it. Like, it's, there's a cool future ahead, man. I'm just excited to be on a part where I'm doing some lifting.
Hell you know? Yeah. Michael, where can people reach you?
Follow me on Facebook. That's where I am most active. I'm currently right now, four nights a week, Monday through Thursday, I go live at 8 p.m. Eastern. I do. It's called From the Edges of Extreme, the Micah Johnson Show. It's literally me practicing these talks I'm working on and typing out. It's just me giving it to the world. So you can find me there every night, four nights a week.
So Micah, Micah.Johnson.790 at Facebook. You can reach him there. Micah, this has been absolutely amazing. I knew it would be. You've got quite a story. You've overcome some amazing things. And I hope that people out there who are suffering can see that no matter where you come from, it's the internal story that you tell yourself and the beliefs, and change your thinking, change your life. And you did that in your testament. And now you've not only changed your life, but you're helping other countless others to do the same. So really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, man. I love it. It's such an opportunity to share. Thank you.
So I need your help. I'm going to reach 1 million people. So if you're listening to this, please share it. Please rate it, review it, whatever you can do to get the word out, because I'm with Micah. This world can be a much better place, and it's not a great place all the time. It's not their fault. It's just because of the beliefs and the things that they had to, these meanings they had to place on their life from early childhood to get through these traumatic things. So that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. And remember, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.